Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty with regard to spiritual gifts. We've been talking for the last several Sundays, the preliminaries, and it's important that we have preliminaries. Those of you who have done anything worthwhile in your life realize that those things don't happen just happenstance, serendipitous. Oftentimes, things that are noteworthy in a person's life are planned. You sit down, as Jesus says, you count the cost. You have an idea as to what it is the Lord would want you to do, and then you sit down and you begin to talk to the Lord and interact with the Holy Spirit and study of God's Word and talking with God's people to lay a foundation, to understand the parameters, to come to terms with the resources and all that is necessary for you to do what it is that the Lord wants you to do. And the same is true when it comes to the matter of spiritual gifts and using spiritual gifts in the ministry of the kingdom of God. I want to share again just some of the basics, some of the fundamentals, to make sure that we're all on the same page. And then next Sunday, we'll start looking at the individual gifts as they have been given to us in Scripture. I'm sure that you're already aware of the fact that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are mentioned in several passages in the New Testament. But there are spiritual gifts being demonstrated throughout all of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. Even though they may not necessarily be identified specifically as this, that, or the other, you see them being played out in the lives of people. You see them demonstrated in the life of Moses, in the life of David, in the life of Solomon, in the life of Elijah and Elisha, in Daniel, in Gideon, in a number of individuals throughout, in Deborah of the Old Testament, in Eve of the Old Testament, in Abigail of the Old Testament, in Ruth of the Old Testament, men and women, and youngsters, Samuel when he was a youngster, David when he was a teenager, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel when they were teenagers, young and old, male and female, demonstrating the empowerment of God in their lives to do what it was that God wanted them to do. And so while we may have certain lists given to us in Romans, Ephesians, and Corinthians, we need to take the whole counsel of God into consideration as we look at the Spirit of God's empowerment in human lives. Now you have a half sheet, your sermon notes there in your bulletin. You may want to take that out for just a moment. The primary texts in the New Testament regarding these gifts are given to you on the back side of your sermon note sheet, and you'll also find a list of corresponding gifts. But I want you to be aware of the fact that some of these gifts are duplicated in various passages of Scripture, and this is not necessarily an all-inclusive list of spiritual gifts. It's not all-inclusive. There are, I believe, gifts given by the Holy Spirit that are not identified by name. But they're seen, as I stated, operating in the lives of individuals in the Old and in the New Testament. For instance, I believe boldness is a spiritual gift. I believe boldness is a spiritual gift demonstrated by Elijah, who was willing to have a contest with the pagan priests of Baal on Mount Carmel, defied the queen Jezebel, called upon the name of God to prove that he was the one true and living God. Boldness, I believe, is a spiritual gift. I believe meekness is a spiritual gift. Moses, by the testimony of Scripture, was the meekest man who ever lived. Now, understand that meek does not mean weak. Meek simply means to yield yourself to the authority of God. As great and as powerful a man as Moses was, he yielded to the authority of the Lord God in his life. I believe meekness is demonstrated in his life and in the lives of other individuals. Now, regarding the Christian and spiritual gifts, I want you, first of all, to note that there are four problems. And I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians, if you will, please, in your Bibles, to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the principal passages of Scripture regarding spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'd like for us to stand, if you will, please, in honor of God's word as we read verses 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Corinthian church, writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles," that's pagan, non-Christian, heathen, "carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Regarding the matter of spiritual gifts, I want us first of all to note that there are four major problems given to us in Scripture with regard to the spiritual gifts. The first, the Apostle Paul mentions here in verse 1, is the matter of ignorance. Ignorance. Now, understand, dear friends, there is a difference between ignorance and stupidity. An ignorant person is an individual who doesn't know any better. A stupid person is an individual who knows better but chooses not to do better. Paul is not calling the Corinthian Christians stupid, but he's simply saying to them that they do not understand, they are not aware of, they do not know the nature and the purpose and the dynamics of the spiritual gifts that they tout themselves in having and in exercising. Paul says that they are unaware of certain things that they need to understand. The word for ignorant here is agnoeo, from which we get the English word agnostic. Agnostic is an individual who believes that there is a God, but believes that you cannot know God personally. He believes that God exists, whoever God may be, whatever God may be, but he does not believe that you can have a personal relationship with this God that exists. And Paul uses that word here to help the Corinthian Christians understand that, yes, you are aware that there are empowerments by the Holy Spirit given to you in the areas of ministry, but you're not aware of the dynamics, the nature, the characteristics, the parameters, the rules, if you will, in which God has established for those spiritual gifts to be incorporated in the ministry of the church. And so Paul here is not shaming the Corinthians. He is going to explain to them what they truly need to know and understand for them to carry on the work of the Holy Spirit in the Corinthian church to reach the Corinthian city for Jesus Christ. Everything must be done decently and in order, the Scripture tells us, and the Holy Spirit is the one who does not lead us into chaos, but leads us to establish certain rules, parameters, if you will, so that we must serve our Lord God with decency and with order. And so Paul is going to share with these individuals certain important principles regarding the ministry of spiritual gifts. Now, again, for review, when we talk about spiritual gifts, the Greek word is charismata, and we need to understand that whatever the spiritual gift is, it is a gift that is given by God. We have to understand that. It is given by God, and it is given by God's grace into the Christian's life. Also, we understand that it's distributed by the Holy Spirit to those whom He chooses. I do not have the gift of teaching because I choose to be a teacher. I do not have the gift of preaching because I choose to be a preacher. I have the gift of teaching because that's this gift that God has given me through His Holy Spirit. I have the gift of preaching. I believe I have the gift of preaching, not because it's something I have aspired to and not something that I have trained to be, but it's because of the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit in my life. Believe me, I would choose to be something else. But this is what God has chosen for me. Spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit as He chooses. And then we note that every Christian has at least one spiritual gift, and some Christians have more than one spiritual gift. The prophet Elijah had the gift of prophecy, but he also had the gift of healing because he was able to raise the dead. Moses had more than one spiritual gift. David had more than one spiritual gift. But every Christian has at least one, and many Christians have more than one spiritual gift. The purpose for which spiritual gifts are given are to do ministry, to engage in the work of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. They are not to bring honor to ourselves. They are not to become a showcase for who I am and what I'm able to do. Spiritual gifts are to be employed in the ministry of the kingdom of God through the local church. And the grand purpose of spiritual gifts is to glorify Jesus Christ, to bring honor and glory to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They are also given to build up the church, to strengthen the church, and to empower the church to do the work that God has called the church to do in the place where Christ has established the church. And I've said it last Sunday, and I've said it a number of times before, but I'll say it again. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ has planted His church in this place to reach this community. Our primary mission is to make the name of Jesus Christ known to the people of Winton. Now, we may not necessarily like Winton, and I know there have been people who've come to me and say, "Pastor, we love the church and we love being in your church. We just wish it was in a different town because we don't necessarily like Winton." Well, dear friends, let me just enlighten you on something. It doesn't matter where the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is located. It is located there for the purpose of lifting up the name of Jesus so that people will be drawn to Him. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus in this place so that the Holy Spirit of God can draw Wintonites to Jesus Christ. Now, you may be living in Merced, and you may be a witness to those in your neighborhood, and you may live in Atwater and be a witness to those in your neighborhood. You may live in Billico, you may live in Cressy, you may live in Livingston, you may live in Timbuktu, it doesn't matter where you may live. You're a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ there, but the Lord has placed this church here to reach these people here. And I know that there are walls. There are barriers. There's language barrier. There's cultural barriers. There are moral barriers. There are all kinds of barriers. But that's why we lift Jesus up, so people can see Jesus over those barriers. And by seeing Jesus, they will bring those barriers down because they'll be drawn to him. We're here because the Lord has placed us here. And he has gifted us through his Holy Spirit to minister his kingdom to the people in this community. And we have not done our work, nor have we honored our Lord Jesus Christ until we've done that. Until we've done that. Now, because the Corinthian church was ignorant of these matters, and they were ignorant of those matters, they were doing the second problem listed in your sermon notes. They were abusing the spiritual gifts. They were not only ignorant of the real purpose and the meaning and the power and the dynamics and the parameters of the spiritual gifts, but because they did not know those things, they were abusing those spiritual gifts. How so? They believed that certain gifts could be taught and could be given to people by people. You want to know how to speak in tongues? We're going to have a class on it this afternoon. Come join us and we'll teach you how to do that. No. If you have the gift of tongues, it is because the Holy Spirit has given you the gift of tongues. It cannot be taught to another individual. It can only be received by an individual by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You want to learn to preach? We'll have a class on that this afternoon. No. If you've not been gifted with the gift of exhortation, then going through a course or two on preaching will make you an orator, but it will not make you a preacher. Only the Holy Spirit of God can make you a preacher. And the same is true with each and every one of the gifts. The Holy Spirit gives them to whomever he chooses. You cannot learn them. You cannot receive them from another individual. You cannot be trained in them. You can only receive them from the Holy Spirit. The Corinthian church was abusing that. They believed that some gifts were universal to every Christian. And that's a problem that people have today. I had an individual come to me once, not long ago, saying, "Preacher, really love your preaching. Have you ever spoken in tongues?" I said, "No. I haven't spoken in tongues the way you understand it. But I do speak five languages. If you want to do tongues the way the Bible stresses it, glossa." "Well, how can you be a Christian and not speak in tongues?" "Because that's not my spiritual gift." "Well, every Christian speaks in tongues, not according to the Bible. The Holy Spirit gives as he chooses." Not all of the spiritual gifts, not any of the spiritual gifts are universal to the Christian community. Paul makes that very clear in certain passages, I'm sure you're aware of. But the Corinthian community was abusing that as well. They were also abusing the spiritual gifts by believing they could exercise whatever gifts they chose. And whenever they chose. They were also abusing the spiritual gifts because they were drawing attention to themselves. They were not glorifying Christ. They were glorifying themselves. "Look at me. I have this spiritual gift." "What spiritual gift do you have?" It's all about what I am and what I have. It brings glory to me. No, no, no. Spiritual gifts bring glory to Jesus Christ. Paul had to correct the Corinthian church on that matter. They were also abusing spiritual gifts because they were using them as a means of gauging one's spirituality. The more spiritual person is the individual who demonstrates the higher gifts. So if preaching is a higher gift than speaking in tongues, and I am a preacher, then I must be more spiritual than the individual who speaks in tongues. No, 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 no. That goes contrary to what Paul talked about when he used the illustration of the human body in speaking of the church of Christ and how we're all members of the body of Christ and we all have gifts so that the body can function as the body should function. Just like the human body has fingers and toes and hands and arms and ears and eyes and nose, so that each one of those parts of the human body, when they function the way they're supposed to, the human body is whole and it functions the way it's supposed to function. Not everybody's going to be an eyeball. Not everybody's going to be a big toe. But just because you are an eyeball or just because you are a big toe doesn't mean you're unimportant. You're just as important as every other member of the body of Christ. But that's not what the Corinthian church was practicing. Another thing that they were practicing that was an abuse was they used their spiritual gifts to manipulate people. To manipulate people. To get them to do what they wanted the people to do. To manipulate the church into being what they wanted the church to be. And as I stated a while ago, those abuses are still being practiced today in a lot of places. There is a third problem with spiritual giftedness, and it concerns non-involvement in ministry. Non-involvement in ministry. By that I mean there are many Christians who are gifted by the Holy Spirit, but they do not engage in ministry. They're not involved in what the Lord would want them to do and what the Lord has gifted them to do. Now, it may very well be that they don't know what their spiritual giftedness is. Maybe they haven't taken the time to find out. Maybe they've not been walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and understand what it is that He wants them to do. But they're not actively engaged in the work of the kingdom. And there are far too many Christians who are in that situation. They're not involved. Well, that's what we pay you to do. Well, that's what we've called you to do. Well, that's how we recognize you, so that's what you're supposed to do. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to sit back and watch you. There are no spectators in the kingdom of God. No spectators at all. You're either on the field or you're off the team. We're engaged in ministry. And all of us have been gifted to engage in ministry. And one of the problems with spiritual giftedness is there are too many people who are gifted that are not involved in ministry. But there is a fourth problem, and that is people who are engaged in ministry that they're not gifted to engage in. People who say that they're preachers, but they're not. People who believe that they are teachers, but they're not. People who believe that they have the gift of hospitality, but they don't. And Baptists are notorious for this. I'll just be honest with you, and those of you who've been Baptists for a while know that that's true. Baptists are notorious for plugging people into positions of responsibility where they have no place being, no business being in that place of responsibility. Why? It's not because they're not sincere. It's not because they're not willing. It's not because they don't have a good heart. It's not because they're not intelligent. It's because they're not gifted to fulfill that responsibility. And I know this puts pressure on Pastor Chris, and it puts pressure on Brother Tim and the other deacons. It puts pressure on a lot of individuals who have responsibility in the church, responsibilities of leadership, Pastor Joe and Pastor David. We've got a vacancy. Can you help us out here? That used to be my experience all the time when I was younger. We need somebody to teach the youth. Do you think you can teach the youth? Here's a quarterly. Even before they have an opportunity to respond yes or no, here's a quarterly. We'll expect you to be in the youth department next Sunday. And quite frankly, they may have no business being there because this is not what God has called them to do. Well, what are we going to do, preacher? What are we going to do, pastor? We can't let the youth go without a Sunday school teacher. Well, if you believe that God has perfectly formed the human body with all of the members necessary for the human body to function as it ought to, and if you believe that the human body is the primary metaphor for the body of Christ, then the Lord has put all of the members necessary for the body of Christ to function as it should, right? So somewhere in the body of Christ, there is a youth teacher. And what we need to do is we need to pray that the Lord will raise that person up. Amen? And if the church needs other deacons to replace those who are no longer serving or those who may have died, then we ought not to just approach another individual and say, are you willing? No, we need to pray. We need to pray that God will raise those servants up. And if God has need for any one of a number of different leadership roles in the church, those individuals are already here. We just need to get on his page and approach those whom he has set aside for that service. We have too many people in the kingdom, all across the board, who are engaging in ministries that they're not equipped to engage in, that they're not gifted to engage in. And beloved, they do more damage than they do good. They do more damage than they do good. To engage in some other work than what you're gifted is to do so outside the realm of the Holy Spirit's empowerment. And the evidence of your effort may be genuine and it may be real, but the desired outcome will be lacking. You may put your whole heart and soul into it, but if it's not what the Holy Spirit empowered you to do, the fruitfulness will be lacking. I want us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. And we will focus the rest of our attention here. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. The Apostle Peter speaking to all Christians. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now I want you to note it carefully. Every word that the Apostle Peter uses here, every word is important. As each one has received a gift, as each one has received a gift. So that you'll know that Pastor wasn't blowing out his ears when he said that every Christian has a spiritual gift. I didn't say it. Word of God says it. As each one has received a gift, and this is in the imperative, which means it's a command, minister it to one another. This goes back to what the Apostle Paul said. When every Christian exercises his and her spiritual gifts within the body of Christ, everybody benefits. Everybody benefits. We all partake of the fruitfulness of every individual Christian in the church because that ministry of spiritual giftedness affects all of us, reaches out to all of us, includes all of us, excludes no one of us. Everyone benefits. Minister it to each other, the Apostle Peter says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now here it is. Peter lays it out very clearly. We are stewards. We are stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are stewards of the empowerment that His Holy Spirit has given us. We are stewards of the knowledge and the wisdom and the grace and the mercy and the love and the kindness and the gentleness. We are stewards of all that God has blessed us with. What does that mean? A steward is not an owner. A steward is a trustee managing what the owner has given him. A steward is not a master. He is a servant who administers the resources of his master. So whatever the Holy Spirit has blessed me with, whether it's material resources, spiritual resources, giftedness, whatever it may be, it is not mine to have. It is mine to use to His glory. Let me say that again. It is not mine to have. It is not mine to keep. It is mine to use to His glory. The spiritual gifts belong to Him, but He's entrusted some of them to me to use to bring glory to Himself and to bring strength and encouragement and wholeness to the body of Jesus Christ. If I'm sitting on my spiritual gift, I'm doing damage to the kingdom. I'm excluding the blessing of the Lord from brothers and sisters in the church. I'm not bringing honor to the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm not maturing in my spiritual walk with the Lord. We are not owners. We are not masters. And everywhere I read in the New Testament where Jesus talks about stewardship, and hear me, wherever Jesus talks about stewardship, that steward is always accountable to his master. Which means, dear friends, if I am a steward of what God has blessed me with, then I'm accountable to him for that and for the use of whatever it is he's blessed me with. And that accountability, dear friends, will happen someday when we stand before the bema of Christ. It will factor into the rewards that the Lord God will bless us with or will hold back for those who are not faithful in their stewardship. So there is a reckoning that comes for the stewards. Now, let me continue by simply stating that it's impossible. It is impossible for me to be a faithful steward of something I have no knowledge of. Would you agree with that? If I have no understanding, if I have no knowledge of what it is I'm going to be accountable for, it's hard for me to be faithful in that, right? Those of you who've been employed, when you go and you apply for a job, you pass the application and you pass the interview, and the boss says, all right, we want you to show up for work on Monday morning at such and such a time. And so you show up and nobody is there to tell you what it is your job is, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it, when you're supposed to do it, and how it concerts with everybody else. If you have no knowledge of what it is that you're supposed to do, how can you be faithful in doing what you've been employed to do? You can't. And so that's why the Apostle Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning and sisters, concerning this matter of spiritual gifts. Peter says the same thing. You've been gifted, now use the gifts to minister to each other. Well, how do I know what my gift is? Find out. Talk to the boss. And that ain't me. That's him. He's the one who gifts you through his Holy Spirit. Speak to him about what it is he wants you to do and the empowerments that his Holy Spirit has placed in your life. God is not in the business of playing cat and mouse with his people. God wants it to be painfully clear to each and every one of us what his will for our life is. Why? Because we're accountable to him for it. And he wants that accountability to be a positive thing, not a negative thing. If I have been given the responsibility of serving the Lord according to the special abilities that he's given me, I need to know what those abilities are. I need to know what the parameters are. I need to know what governs those things. I need to know what the rules are, if you will. I should also understand how those special abilities are to be used. Knowing these things are of great practical value to each and every Christian. So let me give you a couple of things here in closing with regard to spiritual giftedness and the value that it brings into your Christian life and my Christian life. First of all, knowing what my spiritual gifts are defines my Christian ministry. It defines my Christian ministry. Am I supposed to be a pastor? Am I supposed to be a missionary? Am I supposed to be an evangelist? Am I supposed to be a musician? Am I supposed to be a teacher? What is it that I'm supposed to be? The spiritual giftedness that the Holy Spirit has placed in your life defines what your ministry is. So know what your spiritual gifts are, understand what they are, how they're to be used, because that's what defines what you're supposed to be doing for the rest of your life as a Christian. And again, let me just simply state in passing, I don't find anywhere in Scripture where pew warming is a spiritual gift. I don't have to wonder what the Lord wants me to do with the rest of my life. I know what I'm supposed to do with the rest of my life. It has been made very clear to me what the Lord wants me to do. Back when I was 16 years old, the Lord revealed to me what he wanted me to do, and I fought it. I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to be a pastor. Not for no man's money. But that was his claim on my life. And I fought it as long as I could fight it, until I realized I wasn't going to fight against God and win. And from that moment on, I have known what it is that God wants me to do until the day I die. And so that's what I've been doing all of these years. And I continue to study, and I continue to train, and I continue to go through all of these things to sharpen my skills, to better understand how to apply what it is that I need to know and put into the lives of the people that the Lord has entrusted me with. I don't have to guess God's will for my life as a Christian. What I have to do is acknowledge that will and get on with it. Acknowledge it and get on with it. Second, knowing the spiritual gifts that God has given to me determines my priorities. Not only does it determine what my Christian ministry is, but it also determines my priorities. There are a lot of things that pastors are asked to do. And I'll be honest with you, dear friends, I've been asked to do a lot of different things. I've been asked to be a financial advisor, a counselor, this, that, and the other. There are a lot of things that people ask me to do. But God has called me to study and to minister his word. That is my primary calling. That is the priority in my life. All of these other things are good, but they're not the priority. God has placed other people in the fellowship to attend to those things. And we may at times direct you to those individuals. Well, I know, Pastor, but I want you to talk to me. Well, okay. And I've had people do this. I've had people come to me wanting me to talk them out of something or talk them into something. And I've told people right up front, I'm not a trained counselor, and I'm not. I've had a couple of counseling courses, but I'm not a trained counselor. What I am is I'm a student of the Word of God, and I'll tell you what the Bible says. I'm not going to tell you what Dr. So-and-so says down the street, and I'm not going to tell you what, you know, counselor him or her says over here. And, you know, I'll tell you what God says. You came to me and you want to know, I'll tell you what God says. And if you don't like that, well... But I'll be honest with you, dear friends. I know sometimes my approach to helping people with their issues may be rather black and white, cold, a little bit sterile, right up front, in your face. If it's from the Word of God, it's the Word of God. If you want someone to sugarcoat and to pussyfoot around and beat around the bush and water it down and do all those other kinds of things, then go see somebody else. But see, I'm not here. I'm not here to do anything else but to minister the Word of God. That is my calling. That is my giftedness. That is what God has placed upon my heart and put in my mind and in my spirit and in my soul. I would love to be doing a lot of other things, but this is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm gifted to do. And this is the priority of my life. Third, knowing my spiritual giftedness helps me discern God's will in my life. It helps me to discern God's will in my life. Now you may say these things overlap. Yes, they do overlap. But I don't have to question what it is God wants me to do, because that has been defined by the spiritual gifts He's placed in my life. And I don't have to wonder what God's will for my life is. And I don't have to wonder what the priorities in my life ought to be. All of those have been established when I've come to the place I understand what it is that God has gifted me to do, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in my life. It helps me to discern God's will. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." God's primary will for you is to be saved. God's primary will for you is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is eternal life. God's primary will for you is to enjoy the forgiveness of sin and fellowship with God. God's primary will for you is to have the assurance of eternal life with Him in His kingdom through His Son, Jesus Christ. But God also has a will for you as a Christian. Once you've crossed the threshold, once you've gone into the narrow gate, gone beyond the narrow gate onto the narrow way, once you've confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is something that God wants you to do with your life for the rest of your life. His will for your life. And that is directly related to the spiritual empowerment that He's given to you by His Holy Spirit. And by exercising that, you'll become more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, as Paul says we ought to be in Romans chapter 8. That is what God desires for us as human beings. To be engaged in that is to build up and strengthen the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ in the local church. To be engaged in that is to minister to one another individually and as groups and as a church as a whole. Being engaged in those things is to reach the community for Jesus Christ, because all of us, no matter what spiritual gift you have, it's going to affect people on the outside. Why? Because it ministers to people on the inside. So when we're involved in whatever it is that God has empowered us to do through His Holy Spirit, we need to be involved, because that is His will for our life. That is His priority in our life. That is His ministry in our life. And I pray that each and every one of us will come to an understanding of that. And if you do not know, I mean sincerely, do not know and want to know, we can work with you. We can pray with you. We can show you how to discover that in your life. We want you, every single one of you, we want you to know God's empowerment in your life. Why? Because it will only make our fellowship better. It will only lift the name of Jesus Christ up higher. It will only gain greater inroads into the community in which we exist as a church. It is to your benefit. It is to our benefit. It is to the benefit of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And to that end, we engage in this ministry. So stand with me if you will, please. David's going to come and lead us an invitation, a song of commitment. If you're ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ, maybe you do not know the Lord personally. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you have never invited Christ into your life, made that commitment. I invite you to do so today. It is an opportunity for you to get to know the one who died on the cross to save you. And you can know him personally. You can know him like you know your best friend. You can speak with him and hear him as he speaks with you. You can feel his heartbeat in your own. You can experience his empowerment and his direction in your life. He's just as real today as he's always been. But if you're ready to commit your life to him, then we invite you to come. Christian friend, we invite you to do the same. If you're committing your life to this church, we invite you to come and join with our family here. Maybe you've already committed your life to Jesus Christ. You've been saved, but you've never been biblically baptized. You come and present yourself as a candidate for baptism. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray. Maybe you just need to lay some things before the Lord. Maybe you're going through some deep water and you feel like you're about to sink. Maybe you just need to lay it all before the Lord in prayer. The altar is open. You come. Whatever the Lord would have you do, this is your opportunity to respond to him, even as we sing. David, lead us.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.